Good morning, friends. This is Candace with Autism One Media. Here we are. We're all at home, and we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with our kids, and we're trying to do this online learning. And today my guest is Shannon Primer. She is one of California's premier advocates for special education, a dear friend. She's with EducateAdvocateCalifornia.com, and you can also visit their Facebook page at Educate Advocate. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
So I want everybody to get a pen and paper. We're going to make kind of a little schedule, a suggested schedule for them to fill their day with their kids. And also we've got some resources for online stuff. So Shannon, tell us what Empower Family, well, first of all, what we want to do is go over are our IEPs alive? Do we still get services right now? How does all this work? I know that nobody knows much, and it's still up in the air, but our viewers still need to know. So can you give us your take on any of that?
Right now, all the advocates I know, we don't know what's going on because under the new stimulus bill, they are trying to put in stuff that will take out IDEA and FAPE, which leaves all of our services with our hands up going, we don't know. So on our page of Educate Advocate on Facebook, we do have COPA, which is the Panel of Parents, Advocates, and Attorneys, recommendation of what we need to do to take care of that, and we need to all be on the phone with our U.S. representatives from Congress and the House of Representatives, and we need to be telling them that there's no stimulus bill that should be put on the backs of children with disabilities or adults with a disability. I'm not an attorney, but in my opinion, if we lose IDEA and FAPE, the next thing that will go down the drain is ADA, and whether you have a disabled child or not, everybody will eventually need the Americans with Disabilities Act because you will get old, you will get injured, something will happen that you need to have that law in fact there to protect you. So this is a really big deal that even though they're saying it might be only for a year, once you lose a service, we all know in California, with rights, it's really hard to get them back. So we need
We don't get our rights back once they take them away.
Right. So this is this to me is like the biggest deal. It's more dangerous than the coronavirus right now, because this could lose all of our services for all disabled people of all ages.
You know how hard we've fought for all of our rights for our kids in school to get services now, and you know how hard that is. So if this stimulus package includes any of this taking our rights away, we're really done trying to support our kids. I mean, there is no support.
And
so everybody needs to rise up, call your legislators, and what do we tell them?
Basically, COPA wrote a really long paragraph. I think it's
now. Where can
simple.
We go to find COPA? That's COPPA.
.org.
.org. Okay.
And again, they are the Council of Parents, Advocates, and Attorneys.
Okay. And this is all about special education.
Yes.
Or disabilities.
Yes.
Okay. So just so our, so what do we tell them? We don't want this stimulus package.
I make it nice and short and sweet. You can go read their stuff. It's on our page at Educate Advocate. But honestly, there should be no stimulus bill that takes away disability rights, period. Whether it's FAPE, IDEA, or ADA.
And we've all fought under this, under FAPE, under IDEA. And I've used ADA, knew their phone number, and they can tell you the law to cite in your letter that you're going to write to the library because they kicked your kid out for having a meltdown.
And you know this, Candace. I mean, honestly, my son had a meltdown at Disneyland. We've changed their ADA policies there without a lawsuit because I asked them to do it. I explained what was wrong, and we made them do it.
There you go. And I did the same thing here in Santa Maria, California. when a boy got kicked out of the library, a homeschooled boy with autism. They kicked him out of 5 libraries in the area for a year because of his meltdown. And that's a manifestation of his disability, and that's under ADA.
And there's a simplistic thing that you need to think about this if you have older parents and they have a placard to park in the handicap spots.
Yes.
Those fall under ADA. We lose
yes.
our rights under 1. Those are next to go. How are you going to transport your parents when you already have a disabled child or a disabled spouse and that you're supposed to manage them all if we lose something that seems that simple? But that is that important.
Right. Okay. So what was Empowering Family California doing last year?
Educate, Advocate, and Empower Family California last year. We were in the Capitol numerous times. When it came to hearings, Educate, Advocate did get Americans with Disabilities access. We got rooms for our families to be able to sit in. We got accommodations for them to get first in and first out of the hearing rooms as they needed, or if they needed to take time, they could take their time and then go as they wanted. I will say the Assembly Sergeant of Arms were amazing in helping me with this accomplishment. The Senate tried, but the Assembly was amazing. They gave us a beautiful room for more than one hearing. So we were very, very appreciative, as much as we all complain about politics and government. Our Sergeant of Arms are amazing. I want to give them some mad props because they helped a lot. And we did have some meltdowns. We had quite a few issues that had to be dealt with. For me particularly, I had access that I no longer had to pull out my inhaler. I could go through security quickly because they all knew who I was, so that any family who needed help I could get to immediately, which was very much appreciated by all of our families. And then Educate, Advocate, and Empower Family California, we had legislation that turned into a bill as of January 2020 for assisted technology. In politics, normally you ask for an orchard and you hope you get a tree. I just want to give Assemblymember O'Donnell, who's the Education Committee Chair, a huge props here too, because, again, normally we all hate our legislators and whatnot. But we asked for a tree, and he gave us an orchard. We went in asking for an assisted technology bill saying that if you had a talking device and you could not speak, that it had to be able to go home with you 24/7. And that if you moved out of state, especially our military families, that you could take it with you for a few months and then return it as soon as your services were put into place in your new district or new state. He took that bill, and he made it all assisted technology, which is why I like to say I wanted a tree. He gave me an orchard. And when I say I should say all of Educate, Advocate, because this one was particularly my idea, but we all go out and work on it, and it's credit to all of our entire team. And so now if you have, let's say, an FM device for hearing and you need that at home, you're allowed to take it home. If you have a computer and you were previously not allowed to take it home, you have speech to text. There's so much technology out there. And I do want to say this, if you ever hear from a school administrator that technology is not covered except for by nonverbal children, that is not true. And you might want to contact Educate, Advocate, because there's a misconception that all assistive technology is based on kids who don't talk.
Well, we know from experience that our administrators often do not know the law.
Sometimes our program specialists know the law, and I hate to say mislead parents and say, but you're asking for this, when in reality you're asking for something else.
Right.
So it is important to be informed. Assistive technology, speech-to-text, text-to-speech, for our Gen Ed population who have IEPs and 504s, those are very, very important. AB 605 only covers IEPs at this point.
And that's the name of that bill, 8605?
Yes. And when it comes to bills, if you don't know this or our community doesn't know this, in the state of California, every year or two, those numbers get reset. So you need to know the year that the bill was introduced. So for 8605, you need to know that it was introduced in 2019 to be able to find it. Because if you look at that, you might want to find one from 2017. That's not what you're looking for.
So I guess you've had a lot of interaction with Senator Pan.
Unfortunately, yes.
Doesn't he chair the Special Needs Committee?
They have disbanded that because so many of us complained. I do not remember what they decided they were calling it now. And I do believe they took him off as the chair, whatever they renamed it for. In politics, every once in a while when they don't like what the community is complaining about, they just kind of do a bait and switch and switch it up to something else.
Oh.
So.
And you know, for our listeners, if you don't know who Senator Pan is in California, he's the one that wrote SB 277 that you have to have the childhood schedule vaccines before you can go to school.
And AB 2109, where we had to have medical doctors.
Yeah, and SB 276.
And also there was another one about that children 12 and over could give consent to have vaccines. I don't remember the number of that off the top of my head, but several bills.
And how about the one where they get to come to your house and assess your parenting in five general areas?
I believe that's AB 262 and that he co-authored it because he is at this time a senator. But yeah, there's quite a few. Like,
yeah,
and he's
insane.
Also trying to take away homeschooling and charter schools.
He wants every kid in California to have their vaccines.
And be at school.
Yeah.
Whether that works
okay
for your child or not.
Okay, so what bills are you working on right now?
That is a great question. We have one bill that is on, it's AB 2670, Pupil Discipline, Restraint, and Seclusion. So for those of you who are not familiar, there's many times when our kids who have behaviors, my child fits into this category, and districts have to restrain them. It is to make regulations on how they are allowed to restrain them. As a parent and a teacher's wife, I just want to clarify that my husband is a teacher's wife. I worked in a special ed classroom in my 20s. I was attacked on a bus by a special ed kid. And I do understand keeping the staff and other students safe. So there is a fine line between that and accidentally hurting a student, which there has been a couple cases in California where the child was restrained incorrectly and the child died. So this is to try to take care of those in-betweens on how they're trained. I will say Christy of Educate Advocate, her son goes to Portview Preparatory, which if I lived in Yorba Linda or in San Bernardino, my child Austin would go there also because they have a no restraint policy. And they are brought to the CDE all the time, monthly, to discuss how to deal with children with behaviors without restraining them.
Can you write that into your IEP that you don't want your kid restrained?
That's a really fine gray line because they do have to protect legally the other students in the classroom. But you can try to write in, and again, I'm not an attorney, write in what the appropriate protocols are. So that would be something that really should be discussed with an attorney, which I have to say even most special ed attorneys do not really understand behavioral kids. That might be something you talk to your ABA provider about what is the appropriate way to deal with your child because they are the best suited to explain how your child works.
Right.
So I always go back, let's talk to the provider who knows your child best. And I will tell you, I have a client whose child was so had so many problems that her ABA therapist did not like how their company was dealing with it. And the lady was amazing and created her own company for this particular little girl because she could not deal with the guidelines of what the first company said. So there are companies out there that are capable of handling them, and especially in Southern California because that company was dealing with a military family. And for people who are in the military and don't realize, EMFP is there to help you. A lot of young boots think that if they go to EMFP and ask for help and services, that their jobs may be on the line and they may not get promoted. But I will tell you at Camp Pendleton, that is not the case. Camp Pendleton.
What is EMFP?
Exceptional Military Families Program,
okay.
I believe. But it specifically dealt with families who have military issues and may not be able to get deployed and other things, that they're supposed to intervene on your behalf. I will say this, my sister is, her husband's in the military also. Not all EMSPs are created equal. At Camp Pendleton, we just happen to have a really great one, and all bases have money for lawyers to help people in the service. And Camp Pendleton does allocate some money for special education attorneys.
Well, that's amazing.
Okay.
I've
never used their services, but they do actually offer it, which them and Jacksonville, North Carolina, are the only two that offer that of any bases across the country.
So to round it out, we have assisted technology bill from 2020 that passed, and that was AB 605, and that was from 2019, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and this AB 2670, is that correct?
Yes.
For restraint. So you wrote this bill, or Educate Advocate wrote that bill, and has it passed?
It has not passed because our session is closed right now with the coronavirus. So there are no legislation meetings going on in the capital of Sacramento right now. I think most states are like that. The only ones that are actually going on is in D.C. So we are kind of on hold right now.
Okay. Are there any other bills you want to go over?
We do have another one. Sorry, I clicked the wrong part on my phone. We do have also AB 2263, which is special education, non-public, non-sector schools or agencies changing certification status. In the past, I believe that if a non-public school became a non-public agency or lost their certificate, they were not informing parents of this. So that is, we're asking for that to be changed. And then also with both Educate Advocate and Empower Family California, when we go to Sacramento, we look through every single bill that affects families or special education or disability rights. And we do public hearing at every single one if we're there and we can possibly do it. I usually put at least 25,000 steps in at the Capitol when I'm there because I'm running from hearing room to hearing room. So we support a lot of different legislations that benefit our families when it comes to environmental stuff, special ed, disability rights, SSI. I personally opposed AB 5, which is now big news in San Diego County with Lorena Gonzalez and big business and whether or not you can be your own person and get a 1099. So that one's big news right now. But you can always look up our pages and we have lists of what bills we're supporting because when we walked in 2015 to SB 277, all the legislators heard was everything we hated and what we didn't like. We're trying to change that momentum. We want to be in offices. We want them to know our names. We want them to know that we actually do support some of their legislation and which one of those they are. So we encourage everybody who's listening, whether you live in California or in any other state, like start looking up what your local official is doing and find the bills that you support. And instead of just calling and saying, I hate this one, make sure you say, I love this one, and how can I support you in that? And even if you're the family with a, you know, nonverbal severe kid at home, you can take that time, look up the bills, and then put it on your Facebook page saying, hey, Senator or Assemblyperson, this is doing this. I'd like you to take a minute and look at this bill and support them and show them that we do support some of their legislation.
Yeah. Well, you're better at it than me because I had to deal with Hannah Beth Jackson during 277, and that was quite complicated. And in the end, she voted yes. So if you go to visit your legislators, you should go often and know your legislators, but it's often good to take a group of people with you, right?
And get to know their staff. You'd be surprised on how the staff will censor what your legislator hears. So the better relationship you have with their staff,
I got their own deep state.
Yes. I will give out, with AB 605, our staffer was Shana, and I have to say she was amazing. And the better you get to know those staff of whatever you're working on, the better off you are. In SB 277, in Assemblymember Rocky Chavez's office, we had an older guy named Tom who was a staff member, and he used to encourage me to bring in people who had never been to a legislation office to practice. And then after we were done with him and his coworker Sophia, he'd walk outside with us and give everybody constructive criticism on how we could do better.
That's awesome.
So knowing your staff really can help when you're bringing new people into legislation offices and getting better at advocating and doing what you need to do in a legislator's office.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to ask our listeners to get a pen and paper. I'm going to give you a little suggested schedule for your families at this time while we're all on lockdown.
And I do want to give total credit to awesome primers teacher Molly Bundy from Pioneer Programs in San Diego because she totally allowed me to take these. And anything she sends me, I'm allowed to put on Educate Advocate, but these are all her ideas.
Yeah, and you can modify them to suit your family. It's just a general little thing of ways to fill your day and to keep a schedule for your kiddos that really need that structure. And I'm going to give you some links to some online learning stuff that I found on Educate Advocate page. So if you get a pen and paper, we'll get onto that. We'll start with from 9 to 9:30, homeroom, stretch, exercise. 9:30 to 10, and this kind of is taken from a grade school, because I know high school has longer classes, but this is just a little general thing you can tweak. From 9:30 to 10, morning meeting, social questions, ask a question and have the student answer. 10 to 11:30, you know, go for a walk, have a little outing, go in the backyard, play some frisbee if you can. 11:30 to 12, lunch, have the student prepare their own meal. 12 to 12:30, life skills, hygiene, have them brush their teeth, take the shower, practice washing their hair, brush your teeth, all that. From 12:30 to 12:45 is movement, so put on some music, dance, stretch. You can fill your day with art. 12:45 to 11:30, I'm sorry, it must be 1:30, do some art and some creative things, write a song, write a poem. 1:30 to 2, work on academics. So I'm going to give you some resources for some online stuff. abcya.com, abcya.com, funbrain.com, shortfall.com, highlightkids.com, typingclub.com, and then there's Khan Academy. I got kicked out of there because they don't like Dr. Wakefield, and they were not being nice to him, and so I let him have it. So they kicked me out in their science program. So we used to use that app, but not anymore. And it was pretty good because you could learn how to do algebra, and they'd walk you through every step. And we really needed that at that time, so that worked good.
And the Typing Club one is really a good example of, like, AB605. If your child does not have a computer at home, but they need typing skills and they have an IEP goal for that, that's why assistive technology should come home with you, because almost all colleges use assistive technology now to get homework done.
Yeah, our kids all have their Chromebooks and they get to take them home. And our district has worked out a deal with Comcast that if you don't have Wi-Fi at home, they'll provide it for 2 months for free. So our district has been very generous in that way, and you can also go into the office and get a textbook if you need to in the morning. So they've been quite accommodating. Of course, they are, you know, drill sergeants. They want us to do our homework every day. And for some of our kids, like my son, he doesn't want to do work at home because he, you know, for his whole school day, he works so hard to keep his behavior and stay calm and keep his behavior in check and study and learn. And so he has quite a strenuous day at school. And when he comes, we don't do homework. It's written into our IEP that we do not do homework.
The only important thing I'd like to say about homework is if your child is on an A to G diploma track, when it comes to homework and cutting down how much homework there is, you do have to show mastery to get a diploma. Otherwise, you become on a certificate-bound program. So it's very important, especially when you get to high school, that when you're looking at cutting down a student's homework or classwork, doesn't really matter, that we still make sure that they're mastering whatever the subject is so that they're still diploma-bound. Because that's how you get to college. So when we're looking at kids, when you've met one child with autism or one person with a disability, you've met one person. So we need to look at each person as an individual and make sure that our students who are diploma bound are getting mastery. And a lot of districts won't tell you this, that they're like, no, you have to do this X amount. That's not true. Math is a great example of this. Once you show mastery, you're done with it. Like, you shouldn't have to do more than that.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you're giving us these little tips because, you know, we need these tips. Anybody that has a child with a disability needs to know the rules.
And I will say, the one thing we did learn from SB 277 and from AB 605 is we didn't think to include 504s in this. We are learning. We are evolving. So we look at our mistakes from the past, and we're trying to figure out how to fix that in the future, because a 504 and an IEP both fall under IDA and FAPE. We just didn't think to ask for those, especially in 2015 with SB 277, because we were all scrambling just to figure out what we were doing, which is, again, why it's important to be constantly involved in your government and your politics.
And that puts you ahead of the game.
Yes.
Instead of walking in cold as a stranger and trying to get something from somebody that doesn't care.
And I will tell you honestly, when I travel to Sacramento, I live in San Diego. It's an hour and 15 minutes in good weather.
What? Sacramento from San Diego?
On a flight.
Oh,
in traffic, it could be anywhere from 8 to 12 hours, depending on whether or not they're working on the road.
Yeah, I know it takes me about 6 hours to get there.
But, I mean, it is important also when you're talking to your legislators, if you go to your Capitol to say how far you've come. I make sure to try to say every time when I'm doing public speaking, I'm from San Diego, because that makes a difference from them. I didn't just walk in the door from Roseville. No offense, Josh Coleman or any of my other friends from there. But I didn't walk in the door from, you know, the neighboring hood. I came from San Diego. Like, that's how important it is to me. So when you're calling their offices, especially our committee chairs and the people on committee committees, make sure you tell them, like, I'm concerned about this. If you can't travel to your capital, Sacramento, anywhere else, because you have a severely disabled child, you tell them that too. I would love to be able to come to the Capitol, but I'm home and I can't. Make sure they know that you're not just ignoring the Capitol and not showing up, but there's a reason why you're advocating for whatever bill you want and why you're still sitting at home and not being able to do it in the Capitol.
Right. All right. Any final words as we wrap this up? I know you have a lot to do, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me, and, I mean, as a government teacher's wife, I really do wish everybody, even if you think you can't do it, whatever you can do is important. Get involved, even if it's just with the email action alerts and whatnot, and I did post on Educate Advocate today. We have so much information coming in right now. I get banned from posting in groups all the time. So I'm posting them as soon as I see them, but they may not all end up in groups. So if you want the information, you need to be looking at our page.
Okay, and can we follow up if anything major happens?
Yes.
I'll get you here to inform our listeners.
You, if you private message us on Educate Advocate, one of us tends to answer pretty quickly. I will say I'm terrible with emails, so I'm not going to give you my email address. But I would be happy to give you my phone number if you'd like to text me, because I do really well with text messages. 760-535-5858. If I don't know the answer, I think Candace will tell you this, everybody who knows me, I will say, I don't know the answer. Let me go try to figure this out, because the one thing that we all need to know is what we do well. And when we don't do it. So if I don't know the answer, I'm going to try to help you find the answer.
Yeah.
So, and to all the new parents out there, especially because I have one that he keeps telling me he's not doing enough, all of you who are already out there doing the diet, who are already trying to look at ABA, this particular parent has a three-year-old, he's already tried SSI, IHSS, everything else, and he tells me I'm so behind the curve. For all of you who are already out there doing it, realize you're doing an amazing job, because you know what? When Austin was little and he's 18 and a half, nobody told me that.
Yeah. And it's a total guilt trip for our parents. I mean, so, you know, don't be hard on yourself and know that you're doing what you can.
And if you have other children, you are doing the best you can, because I'll tell you, my 19-year-old didn't get the services she should have as soon as she should have, because we were so busy with Austin. But realize, you are one or two people, and if one of you works full-time and one of you is home dealing with it, you can only do what you need to do. I say all the time, you only look backwards to find the puzzle piece, what you need for today.
And just remember, for those parents of newly diagnosed kids, you know, it gets easier. It gets easier. And
there's lots of organizations that want to help you.
Yes. And I remember my son was 4 years old and my daughter was two, and she was literally on her own because I had my hands full with my son. So, you know, you just do the best you can. And, you know, I've spent all this time trying to make it up to her. She's, you know, he was the focus of all the therapy every single day, 8 hours a day. And, you know, so I spent a lot of time making that up to her. So,
and right now,
there are just things that affect our families that people don't realize.
But that's the big thing, is don't feel like, realize you're doing the best you can. You are going to have parental guilt no matter what. And especially right now when you're at home and you have multiple children and you're trying to do it all.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get my son to poop every day. You know, I'm just still working on that. So, you know.
Candace, I don't think you ever heard my...
My son's 17, and, you know, I'm still trying to get him to eat.
food. You've never heard my theory on this. Some people think high functioning is being able to speak. Mine is going to the bathroom and the toilet. Yes. So I'm right there with you. Like, it's perception of two. Like, when you're looking at our children's deficits, let's look at their positives too and then try to figure out a middle ground and work on, you know, supporting.
Yeah, we have a goal from last year that we'd be bathing on our own, and that's not completed. So this is a great time to work on some of those goals, like pooping every day and learning how to bathe. So, Shannon, yeah, thank you so much for your time. And I want to thank you from my heart. All the times I've asked you questions and you've answered my questions in a text. You've been very generous with your time, and I so appreciate it.
I didn't get into this to make a living, and even though I do have a private practice, there is a reason why I joined Educate, Advocate, and Empower Family California, because I remember what it's like to be alone.
Yes.
And I don't want anybody to feel that way ever. So I try to do my best with balancing that. I do have to have a paycheck.
Yeah, I know. It's balance, people. Balance, balance.
Right. And let me tell you, I joke about it all the time. Everybody thinks I have my stuff together. Trust me. I don't have it together any more than the rest of you. So.
I know. Thank you so much, Shannon. Thank you.
Thanks for having
Educate, Advocate, California.com.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.